الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that a person who sends 50 times daily durood or salutations or salawat upon me, I will shake hands with him on the day of judgment. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم صلاة وسلام عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله Dearest Islamic brothers and the viewers of Madani channel, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, once again we are blessed with this auspicious opportunity to participate in this silsila of Madani channel, Blessings of Hadith. As usual, inshallah, Azza wa Jal, we will discuss few ahadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this silsila, and we'll try to understand the message of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وعن أبي هريرة قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من أتاه الله مالا فلم يؤد زكاته مثل له ماله يوم القيامة شجاعا أقرع له زبيبتان يطبقه يوم القيامة ثم يأخذ بلهزمتيه يعني شدقيه ثم يقول أنا مالك أنا كنزك ثم تلا ولا يحسبن الذين يبخلون الآية رواه البخاري This hadith is reported from Hazrat Abu Huraira رضي الله تعالى عنه and he says that our beloved Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم has said Whosoever is given wealth by Allah Azza wa Jal and he does not pay zakat of that wealth, his wealth will be changed into a bold snake on the day of judgment, which will have two tresses and this snake would be wrapped around the neck of that person. And then this snake will catch his both jaws and will say, I am your wealth, I am your treasure. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited this ayat, وَلَا يَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ يَبْخَلُونَ That bakhil, the stingy ones, must not think, and then there are other words of ayah kareema. In this hadith mubarakah, we learnt that a person who has been given wealth by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he does not pay zakat, then that wealth, that maal is changed into the form of a bold snake. What is so special about this bold snake? Ulama ikram have said that when a thin, poisonous snake lives for very long time. And naturally, on the hood of that snake, hair grow. And if it keeps on living and it keeps on surviving, and it has a very long age, its poison also keeps on increasing. And then because of the poison, the heat and the dryness is caused in the body of that snake, and then hair fall away. First they grow, and then as the poison increases, and then they fall away. So that is called Ganja Saamp in Urdu. And it's called Shuja'an Akra. And this is the worst categories of snakes. Very dangerous, very poisonous. And it develops two marks on top of the eye, on top of both the eyes. And its poison is so much that if it blows on the grass burns away, meaning it dies off. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in this hadith mubarakah that the one who doesn't pay zakat, his wealth will be changed into that type of dangerous snake. And it would sit on top of that person whose wealth it was, and will circle around the neck, wrapped around the neck like a garland. And will punish that person. So this is actually very alarming, very serious. There are many Muslims that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon them bundles of wealth, and they are heedless and they are unaware of this responsibility. And they don't know the danger that they are going to face after death. They're too busy in enjoying the riches, the comforts, the luxuries, because of that wealth, because of that money in this dunya. There are different situations. Many punishments start from the grave, and then certain punishments will take place on the day of judgment. Sometimes a bakhil, a stingy person who doesn't pay zakat, and he has gold, silver, or other form of wealth, and that will become snake and wrapped around his neck. That's the one way of punishing. And the other way of punishing, which is mentioned in other hadith, that gold and silver will be made hot, and then the sides of that person and the forehead of that person would be branded with that gold and silver. And of course that is going to be very painful. And then it is mentioned in this hadith mubarakah that this snake will catch that person from the jaws and will inject the poison into the body of that person, and this person will feel severe pain, but he will not die. That means the punishment would continue. So, dearest Islamic brothers and the viewers of Madani channel, after hearing this hadith mubarakah, I think everybody should make up their mind and make firm intention that we will do proper calculation of our wealth and pay our due zakat, inshallah azza wa jal. An Jarir ibn Abdullah qala qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, idha ataakumul musaddiqu falyasdur ankum wa huwa ankum radin, rawahu Muslim. This hadith is reported from Hazrat Jarir bin Abdullah. He says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, when a zakat collector comes to you, you should return him as happy person. See, maal is two type, zahiri and batini, apparent and hidden. Zahiri maal is like your animals, your fresh produce like vegetable, fruits, your crops. That is zahiri maal. You cannot hide it in your safe. It's there, everybody can see it, everybody can notice it. And then the hidden maal, hidden wealth is like your gold and silver, your cash money. So, Sultan-e-Islam, the ruler of Muslim state, employs people to go and collect zakat from the zahiri maal, that is, from the animals and from the farm produces, etc. And then spends it on the rightful people or the projects whereby it's supposed to be spent. And these rulers, Islamic rulers, they used to employ people for that work. Go and move around and see and collect the zakat. And they were called musaddiq. And also they were called amil as well. And the word amil is mentioned in Quran Kareem as well, where the categories of deserving people of zakat is mentioned. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying in this hadith mubarakah that if any of our employee or the rulers of Islam which are coming after me, if any of their employee comes to you to collect zakat, to collect sadaqah, you should greet that person warmly, welcome him warmly, and show him your complete zahiri wealth, your apparent wealth. Don't hide anything. So he can do his calculation easily, properly. If you're not declaring everything openly and honestly, then it would be a problem for him to do the proper calculation. So then he would return as a sad person. He will not return as a happy person. He will only return as a happy person if you show that you are happy on his arrival, and this zakat is an obligatory duty upon me, and he is here to help me out. So my farz can be fulfilled, my obligation can be fulfilled, and do proper declaration, do not hide anything. And that way he will be happy, he will not ask too many questions, he will not spend too much time, his time would not be wasted. So he'll go as a happy person. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has encouraged us and educated us and taught us that this is how you should behave when the person who is appointed to collect zakat comes to you. And as far as your hidden wealth is concerned, which is not in front of the eyes of people, that is your gold, silver, your cash money, you should also pay zakat from that happily, with happy heart. Don't try to hide anything away, because that is poor due, that is the right of poor people, and it should be given to them. And the zakat payer should thank that person who has come to his door to collect zakat, and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he has granted him the opportunity and tawfiq to fulfill that obligation. Because people have attachment with wealth, they have love for wealth and money, and to take out a portion and give it away is not so simple, it's not so easy. So many fail that test. So one should pay zakat and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, oh Allah, you have made it possible for me to fulfill your order and your obligation. وعن عبد الله بن أبي أوفى قال كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا أذاه قوم بصدقتهم قال اللهم صل على آل فلان فأتاه أبي بصدقته فقال اللهم صل على آل أبي أوفى متفق عليه وفي رواية إذا أتى الرجل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بصدقته قال اللهم صل عليه. حضرت عبداللہ رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ reports that when someone used to bring his sadaqah, mean his zakat, in the court of beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or any nation used to bring their zakat in the court of beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make dua that, O Allah, send your blessings upon so-and-so and upon their children. He says, my father brought his sadaqah, his charity, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua, O Allah, send your blessings upon the children of Abi Awfa. This hadith is in Bukhari and in Muslim. And in another narration it is mentioned that when any person brought his sadaqah to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, Allahumma salli alayhi, O Allah, send your blessings upon him. Abdullah bin Abi Awfa, both father and son are sahabi, alhamdulillah. And this Abdullah is the last sahabi who lived in Kufa. So what is apparent from this hadith-e mubarakah is the zakat of gold and silver. Because the zakat of zahri mal, apparent wealth, was being collected by the amilin, by those who were appointed to go out and collect zakat. So what type of zakat are we talking here that people were bringing in the court of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam? This was actually the batni mal, the hidden mal, and that is gold and silver and other currency or cash that you have. So they used to bring in the court of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make dua, Allahumma salli alayhi wa salli ala ali so and so, on the children of so and so. Ulama ikram have said that initially it is not allowed to send salat or durood upon anyone. You have to send durood first upon beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then taba'an mean following that you can send durood upon someone else. So here Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sends durood, Allahumma salli ala so and so. Ulama ikram say that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam can do that because durood is his right, and he can pass that right to someone else. He is owner of that, he has the haq. But we can't do, when we want to send durood upon anyone, we have to send durood upon beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam first and then upon someone else. And from this hadith mubarakah we also learn that sahaba ikram ridwanullah ta'ala alaihim ajma'in used to bring their charities, their zakat, their sadaqat to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they wanted that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam should distribute their charity. They could have done it on their own, but they believed that if it is done by the blessed hand of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then their charity will be accepted and they'll have double blessing. One is that they fulfilling that obligation, and the other one is that they fulfilling it via the beloved of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he is becoming witness on their good deed, on their ibadat. And then of course they knew that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam makes dua when you go to him and pay your zakat via him, and they wanted that special dua for themselves and for their families as well. So they would do that. And we also learn from this hadith mubarakah that it is the sunnah of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam to give dua to the person who is paying zakat. But the one who is paying zakat should not ask, make dua for me. Maybe that dua might become a return for his charity and he might not get anything in the akhirah. So therefore the Sahaba Ikram are bringing their charities, but they're not saying, Ya Rasulullah, make dua for us. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is making dua for them on his own. And this is actually a big issue. Those who have wealth, zakat is fard upon them, and it's obligation, they have to fulfill that obligation. And when they give zakat, they sometimes act that, you know, as if they are very generous and they're helping that person, and also say that person, okay, please make dua for me. Now the person who received the zakat, he'll say, thank you very much, you know, you have done this for me and this will help me this way and that way. The person says, okay, make dua for me. So this should not be done, because there's possibility that you are asking that poor person, make dua for me, might become return for your charity and you might not get any sawab in the akhirah. So you should pay zakat and keep quiet. And if he gives dua, you take it. If he doesn't give dua, it doesn't matter. I mean, they were not paying zakat to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam cannot accept zakat. Even his children cannot accept zakat. Sadat cannot. There are many categories who cannot accept zakat. But they wanted their charities to be given via Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So therefore, it is a very good practice that people should give their charities and zakat via ulama ikram, via pious people, for several reasons. One reason is that to fulfill that sunnah, and secondly, most of the people, the business community who have wealth and money, they don't know the masail of zakat. They don't know who really the deserving person is, and under which conditions and circumstances zakat can be given to. I mean, there are institutions who collect zakat and they give bursary to students. And how they do that? They pay that amount of money directly into university's account on behalf of that student. Now tamleek, to become owner of the zakat money, is a shart, is a condition. Iza fata shartu fatal mashroot. That is an accepted rule and principle in Sharia of Islam. When the condition dies, conditioned one also dies. When condition is not fulfilled, the conditioned one also does not exist. So if the ownership is not proven, then payment of zakat is also not valid. So people have, they in their minds they think they might be doing right, they're helping people, but do the proper way. Just good intention doesn't help. It must be done in the right way, in the correct way. So Alim-e-Deen knows masail. So he can pay your zakat in correct way, in the right way. So we learn from this Hadith-e Mubarakah that this practice can also be exercised, and authentic, knowledgeable Ahle Fatwa Ulama should be requested for this type of service, that Huzur, we are unable to pay, we don't know, so we want you to pay on our behalf. وعن عدي بن عميرة قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من استعملناه منكم على عمل فقتمنا مخيطا فما فوقه كان غلولا يأتي به يوم القيامة رواه مسلم. حضرت عدي رضي الله تعالى عنه reports that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that whoever from us is appointed to be amil, mean to go out and collect zakat, who is employed for that work, and if anyone hides a needle away, or more than that, or less than that, that is dishonesty. And on the day of judgment, he has to bring that. He has to pay that. So this Hadith-e Mubarakah tells us that khayanat, dishonesty, whether it is small or big, there is punishment for that on the day of judgment. And this would be a cause of embarrassment and humiliation. Especially if one does dishonesty in zakat. Because zakat is ibadat, so he's being dishonest in the ibadat of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla. And then he is violating the haq and the right of poor, faqir, maskeen, destitute. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran Kareem, وَمَنْ يَغْلُ الْيَأْتِ بِمَا غَلَّ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. The one who hides something away because of dishonesty, on the day of judgment, he has to bring that hidden item. He has to bring and show that this is what I have stolen. عن ابن عباس قال لما نزلت هذه الآية والذين يكنزون الذهب والفضة كبر ذلك على المسلمين فقال عمر أنا أفرج عنكم فانطلق فقال يا نبي الله إنه كبر على أصحابك هذه الآية فقال إن الله لم يفرض الزكاة إلا ليطيب ما بقي من أموالكم فَإِنَّمَا فَرَضَ الْمَبَارِيثَ وَذَكَرَ كَلِمَةً لِتَكُونَ لِمَنْ بَعْدَكُمْ فَقَالَ فَكَبَّرَ عُمَرُ ثُمَّ قَالَ لَهُ أَلَا أُخْبِرُكَ بِخَيْرِ مَا يَكْنِزُ الْمَرْءُ الْمَرْأَةُ الصَّالِحَةُ إِذَا نَظَرَ إِلَيْهَا سَرَّتْهُ وَإِذَا أَمَرَهَا أَطَاعَتْهُ وَإِذَا غَابَ عَنْهَا حَفِظَتْهُ رواه أبو داود. Hazrat Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma reports that when this ayat was revealed, يَكْنِزُونَ الذَّهَبَ وَالْفِدَّةَ, like those who collect gold and silver, This ayat was very heavy upon Muslims. That means they were very disturbed. Then Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, I will remove your difficulty. I will solve your problem. And how he solved the problem? He started walking and went to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because he knew that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is problem solver. Said, Ya Nabi Allah, this ayat is very heavy upon your ashab. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him that zakat is made fard, so your balance of the wealth, your rest of the wealth is purified. And inheritance is made fard. So whatever you leave, your offsprings, those who are coming after you, they can benefit from your wealth. And then the Ravi, the reporter, says that Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu shouted a slogan of takbir, Allahu Akbar. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, should I not tell you something which is the best that a man should treasure? And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that is the good wife. When you look at her, you like her. And when you order her, she obeys you. And when the man is away, she looks after him, mean his property, his honor. Subhanallah. In this hadith mubarakah, when the ayat was revealed about kanz, about treasuring gold and silver, so they took the literal meaning and they understood maybe collecting gold and silver has become haram at all. So you're not allowed to collect any amount of gold and silver. So of course that was difficult. How can you survive without gold and silver, because that was the cash of the time. People would buy things with dirham and dinar, and dirham and dinar were made of gold and silver. So therefore, they took this ayah kareema heavily because of not understanding the deeper meaning of that. And of course, this could not have been the meaning. Now, Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, as being a senior Sahabi, understanding Islam more than others, and being in the Sohbah and the company of beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, well, this can't be possible, that we are not allowed to keep gold and silver at all. If we don't do that, how will we travel? How will we do business? How will we pay zakat? How will we look after, you know, our families and our children? So he said, no, I'll go to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and solve your problem. So he tells to Sahaba Ikram that I'm going to solve your problem. Ana ufarriju ankum. I will open the knot of that difficulty from you, O Sahaba. And then what he did to remove that difficulty, he went into the court of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him explanations about the wealth and give charity. So that means nobody is stopping you to collect wealth, to treasure wealth, but pay zakat. And then the inheritance was also explained. So now the difficulty was removed. Problem was solved. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu got happy. فکبر عمرو، حضرت عمر فاروق رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ میڈ نعرہ تکبیر اللہ اکبر. سو فرام دس وی لرن دیٹ وین یو ہیئر اے شرعی مسئلہ اینڈ یو انجوائے اٹ اینڈ یو لائک اٹ، وین یو آر انسپائرڈ بائی دا ٹاک آف این عالم دین، اٹ از سنہ آف صحابہ اکرام ٹو شاؤٹ اے سلوگن آف تکبیر اینڈ آف کورس آف رسالت ایز ویل. نعرہ تکبیر، نعرہ رسالت، دیٹ از گڈ پریکٹس. ایکچولی دیٹ از دا پریکٹس آف صحابہ اکرام رضوان اللہ تعالیٰ علیہم اجمعین. اینڈ دین ان دس حدیث مبارکہ رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وآلہ وسلم has said that should I not tell you that something which is the best thing to treasure, and that is the wife. What type of wife? Ulama ikram say that a good Muslim wife who has good surat and good seerat, she looks good and she has a beautiful character, and in fact the benefit of such wife is more than the wealth, because gold and silver, they will be out of your ownership and then only will benefit you, because you have to spend them, you have to give that away to someone to get the benefit. You want to buy something, you have to give that gold away, you have to give that silver away. But pious wife, she will stay by you and will give you the benefit. And gold and silver, or money, or dollars, or whatever name you have, they'll give you benefit once. You spent it once, it's gone. That money is not coming back to you. You can't just buy something and pay once and then tomorrow you go again and try to buy something else and say, no, I paid you yesterday. So nobody will give you any product or any goods. So once you paid, you get benefit once. But with the pious wife, your benefit is every day, even after death. Let's say, example, if she gives you a pious child, son or daughter, who became a true representative of the father, and that person is holy person, pious person, he makes ibadat, he gets the ilm of deen, he becomes alim deen. How much benefit that father will have because of that child, and where he got that child from? From that woman, from the wife. So her benefit is indeed greater than the benefit of the wealth. It is mentioned in Hadith Mubarakah that nikah is half of the iman. So you get married, she comes in your life, in your home, and she completes half of your iman. Isn't she a blessing? And Sufi Akram say that a beautiful woman with beautiful character is a mirror of the beauty of Allah, subhanallah. And her good character is the manifestation of the attributes of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla. How wonderfully our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, and he has expressed the characteristics of pious, beautiful, successful wife in two words, that when husband is at home, she fulfills all her needs. And when he is absent, out at work, traveling, or he passed away. She looks after his wealth, his honor, and his secrets. That is also very important, to look after the secrets of the husband. These days, on problems, on issues, on arguments, women go out and open up the secrets of their husbands. They do very easily. They feel that way they can punish the husband. For example, if they are hurt with something, then the first thing is to go out and tell everyone, he does this and he does that. And so that's dangerous. Those are secrets and should be kept secrets. So from these few ahadiths, alhamdulillah, we have learned many beautiful madani flowers and madani pearls. And we have also learned that how important it is that we should pay our zakat. So please make sure that everything that you have, every wealth that you have, is counted for, is considered and declared, and zakat is paid, and paid to the right people. Alhamdulillah, Dawat Islami also collects zakat, sadaqat. Dawat Islami is doing wonderful work in the world, and it has got so many departments, and millions and millions are required to run. Even Madani channel, which you are watching right now and benefiting, requires huge amount of money. So pay your charities, your zakat, your sadaqat to Dawat Islami, and be part and partner in this wonderful work which Dawat Islami is doing throughout the world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to do everything according to Sharia, according to the orders of Allah Azza wa Jalla and His beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen bi jahin Nabi al-Ameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salatun wa salaman alayka ya Sayyidi ya Rasulullah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habib Allah.